is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
China, trade. The challenge of dealing with China involves the supply chain, involves depending upon China as the one source for goods, for parts, for manufacturing. At Gordon G. Chang is with me, and we're joined by our guru on manufacturing and trade, Alan Tonelson, who's been right for years about the need to find a backup, a plan B, a plan C for China's willy-nilly aggression. We have now an answer to Alan's troublemaking these years from no less than the Global Times itself. This is the English language version of the PRC's propaganda. It declares U.S. cannot decouple from made in China. The headline reads, this is by a young man named Ding Gong. Washington is in a hurry of late. It has to contain China's high-tech development on the one hand and is anxious to collect some so-called democratic countries to establish a democratic front against China on the other. It appears that the China policy of the Biden administration is not much different from that of the Trump era, as U.S. President Joe Biden still identifies China as its primary strategic adversary and is shifting its global strategy rapidly to this focus. There you have it, Alan. The Chinese have caught us as we change our direction and decouple, which is declared as not possible. So which is it? Are the Chinese propagandists correct that we're making a lot of noise, but we can't get away from them as our one source? Or is there another way forward? Good evening to you, Alan.
Hi, John, and hi, Gordon. It's getting really interesting on the decoupling front lately because some conflicting signs have emerged over the last year. Now, we have to remember that economic data over the last year and the year before has been completely distorted by the pandemic. And very few areas have seen more distortion than U.S. trade flows, because after all, because we had such healthcare security holes in our system, because we had grown so dependent on China mainly, but other foreign countries too, on healthcare products like masks and ventilators and gloves and the like, there's been a surge of U.S. goods imports from China over the last year. I have a strong feeling that that will subside as the pandemic subsides, although, of course, no one knows exactly how long that's going to take. But there's no doubt that before the pandemic struck, even on the trade front, you saw a dramatic reduction in two-way U.S.-China trade measured in U.S. dollars as a percentage of the whole U.S. economy. Now, that ratio has rebounded over the last year, but again, I strongly suspect that it's due to COVID-induced distortions of economic activity by various other measures. Decoupling continues, whether you're talking about foreign investment going back and forth, and also whether you're talking about U.S. sanctions on Chinese tech companies, which the Biden administration seems determined to continue and in even some cases expand.
Alan Tonelson is an independent economic policy analyst who blogs at Reality Check and tweets it at Alan Tonelson. Gordon, you have a question for Alan.
Alan, we have these unprecedented backlogs of container ships waiting to be unloaded, especially at the two Southern California ports, Long Beach and Los Angeles. Many people say that the reason why there's such a backlog, or the primary reason, is that this is just the Americans buying Chinese stuff. So that would show no decoupling. But of course, there are other reasons for these disruptions. How do you analyze this?
Well, certainly the supply chain problems have interfered with U.S.-China trade and with U.S. global trade. But it's crucial to remember that this interference has affected not only U.S. imports from China and especially the rest of East Asia, but U.S. exports to China and the rest of East Asia. And I found it incredibly interesting that just as these reports of an easing of the supply chain crisis began to appear, that yesterday's U.S. trade figures that covered October showed that U.S. goods exports to China rose during that month by 52% to an all-time high. We haven't seen a proportional increase in those U.S. exports to China since 1996, when, of course, the absolute numbers were much, much smaller.
Alan, the Chinese editorialist in the Global Times is clearly worried, without reading his very careful language, is clearly worried about competition at the high end of goods, the high end of markets. Is that still an area where the U.S. has an advantage, or is China looking to a date when it can pass us? I'm thinking of the high-end video cards, the high-end chips that are in short supply now.
I'd say both of your statements are equally true. There's no doubt in my view that the U.S. retains a very important edge in areas like semiconductor design, and that its allies, especially Taiwan, retain an even larger edge in semiconductor manufacturing. On telecommunications, there's no doubt that Chinese firms, especially Huawei, have made extraordinary progress, but that progress has been slowed also dramatically by U.S. tech sanctions on the kinds of chips that Huawei can use in its own telecom systems. But there's also no doubt that the Chinese are aiming to pass us. And when you look at news reports like the one that appeared yesterday, that revealed that Apple company CEO Tim Cook agreed to pay the Chinese essentially a $275 billion extortion payment to make sure that Apple would no longer run afoul of various Chinese economic regulations. And when you keep in mind that much of that $275 billion included Cook's promise to buy more and more advanced Chinese electronics components to put into Apple iPhones, and that Cook clearly was afraid to run to Washington to ask for help, you have to conclude that China's aims of overtaking the U.S. tech-wise in the perhaps slightly beyond foreseeable future are not so totally fanciful.
Gordon, we have about a minute.
Alan, Apple actually is unique. And it's unique, for instance, in its dependence on China. Do you think that this payment that Tim Cook made, $275 billion, is that something that other American companies will do, or is this just a one-off?
Perhaps the magnitude is a one-off because, as you suggested, Apple is incredibly reliant on China, not only as a manufacturing center, but as a big customer. But there's also no doubt that most of the major U.S. information technology hardware companies are heavily dependent on China's own electronics manufacturing capabilities and electronics assembly capabilities, and they're also dependent on China as a customer, and that's why they've been fighting such a vigorous rearguard action to make sure that whatever U.S. sanctions are imposed on the Chinese tech sector are as narrow as they possibly can be, along with human rights sanctions. And we've seen this in the fight that's going on behind the scenes in Washington over U.S. human rights sanctions relating to China's repressions of its Muslim Uyghur minority.
Alan Tonelson, who blogs at Reality Check, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.